Plymouth Rock, Mount Rushmore, the Washington Monument. We grow up learning about monuments like these and see them as key markers in American history. But as we reckon with our country's complicated past, questions arise about whether some people or events, like Christopher Columbus or the Thanksgiving holiday, deserve to be celebrated. So who decides what stories we tell about them? A new film, Stonebreakers, premiering at the Independent Film Festival in Somerville this weekend, explores these questions. And we're joined now by Valerio Chiriachi, and that is the director of the film, and Isaac Lipzin, one of the film's producers. Welcome, both of you.
Hi, hello.
Thanks for having us.
Okay, so the film, I watched it the other day, it gets into a lot of scenes that people usually think of when we hear about controversy over monuments. There are Confederate statues in the South. That's one thing that kind of comes to mind. But I noticed that one of the first scenes takes place in Waterbury, Connecticut. We also see New Haven and Plymouth, Massachusetts is featured at the end. So I guess, Valerio, what makes New England a compelling place to focus on?
Well, New England, yes, is one of the main locations in the films. I guess it's because of many statues, of Columbus statues that are here. You mentioned, yes, Waterbury. This is one of the places that where we film. And we also have a few other places, yeah, but New England, especially for the Columbus statue. One of the many vignettes, as you say, we traveled to the South. We filmed the Confederate statues. We went on South Dakota. We have a scene at Mount Rushmore. We also have a scene at the border. We try to cover as much ground as we could.
Right, right. You know, many of the monuments you study are often tied towards our earliest history as a country, right? Plymouth Rock is the first thing that comes to mind. But we often see like this immediate contrast between one group that's against this certain issue and one group that is really fighting hard to preserve it. You see it in the film when, you know, you're focusing in Plymouth with there's a protest Wampanoag people speaking about, you know, the fact that it's a day of mourning. But then you have a parade going on just down the road. So here is a clip from the movie that describes a little bit of that.
Here is the truth. When the pilgrims arrived on Outer Cape Cod, by the way, not on that pebble down the hill, one of the first things the pilgrims did was to rob Wampanoag graves at Corn Hill and steal as much of their winter provisions of corn and beans as they were able to carry. Some Wampanoag ancestors did welcome the pilgrims and save them from starvation. And what did we get in return for this kindness? Genocide, the theft of our lands, and never-ending oppression.
Okay, so Isaac, when you're watching this contrast happening, what's going through your minds as you're filming this?
Yeah, and first let me just mention that the audio clip that we just heard is Keisha James, an activist with the United American Indians of New England group. She was delivering a speech during the Day of Mourning protest that they do every year in Plymouth, Mass. The contrast is something that was very much at the basis of everything that we learned as we were producing this film. Obviously, in the media, in the public discourse about monuments, there was a lot of this sort of like dichotomy. Should we save history or should we sort of tear down monuments? I think in some ways we wanted to go beyond that sort of simplistic question and broaden it to really ask how do monuments function in the public space? What types of new monuments could also be imagined? And at the end of the day, when critics say this is a cancellation of history to attack a monument in some way, to contest a monument, I think what we really witnessed instead was almost an explosion of history into the public discourse, into the discussions of a community in a way that usually doesn't happen. So in some ways, it was really the opposite of a cancellation.
Right. Well, I want to ask about an artistic choice that you guys made when producing the film. Valerio, I noticed that there wasn't much narration or like voiceover from interviews from a subject. So a lot of the film is just watching two different scenes play out. And so can you talk to me about that choice that you made when putting all of this together?
Yes, I guess come out a little bit naturally for us, because that's how we make our films. Even the previous one, we avoid as much as voiceover, or we try to avoid put ourselves too much in the film, and we let the scene and the characters in the film talk for themselves, and the scene talk for themselves. So yes, it's all our approach is to film what was happening in this incredible year of reckoning with history, but as well hear as much as we can from the protagonists. So we have a variety of interviewees, we have activists, we have some scholars and people that are tackling these issues of memorialization in first person.
Right. Okay, so we go from Plymouth Rock. That includes a scene with a group of Native American people talking about Christopher Columbus and also the arrival of the Pilgrims. But also, there's another scene in South Dakota. There's a protest about Mount Rushmore, right? It's just miles away, though, from a grave commemorating the massacre at Wounded Knee. And that was built on land that was considered sacred to the Lakota tribe. Then also in the film, you hear former President Donald Trump at a rally in South Dakota saying this in the response to those protests.
The nation is witnessing a merciless campaign to wipe out our history. Angry mobs are trying to tear down statues, deface our most sacred memorials, and unleash a wave of violent crime. They think the American people are weak and soft and submissive. But no, the American people are strong and proud, and they will not allow our country to be taken from them.
Okay, so listening to this, it kind of begs the question, whose history is being erased here? And I guess who gets to decide what history is told? Isaac, I'll send that question to you.
Mm-hmm. That speech that you heard was delivered by Trump, as you said, on an Independence Day celebration at Mount Rushmore. That was in the summer of 2020. Trump chose that location specifically because there had been this exploding debate in the media about what to do about certain statues. And of course, Trump's position was in a sort of complete defense of any type of historical monument, regardless of the context. When we heard that Trump was going to be doing this at Mount Rushmore, we thought that would be an important moment to document. And that's because Mount Rushmore actually rises in the Black Hills in a territory that, as you mentioned, was illegally taken by the U.S. government from the Lakota people. So what we were able to document on that day, on July 4th, was a very intense protest that indigenous organizers had set up for the day. They actually blocked the road that you used to access Mount Rushmore, so it was a very striking scene, and it actually got quite violent as the authorities attempted and eventually succeeded in removing them from there.
Right. I mean, do you think there is, when it comes to monuments like that, is there space for, you keep the monument, but then you also tell the whole story? Or is it, in some of your filming, did you find that, it's one or the other? Where did you guys land there?
No, of course, and this is one of the first things that we came to realize during the filming, that it wasn't just about tearing down monuments. What we witnessed was also the rediscovering of memorial places and space of memory that were sometimes forgotten, or they're not in the mainstream media, right? So a lot, our film, we try to include also new memorials that are coming up right now. We have a scene in Philadelphia where Monument Lab, an organization based there, is building some prototypes of future monuments that could be. So, yeah, there is definitely a way of reimagining memorials and space of memory and monuments that are more accessible and maybe can spark from a vision of history from the ground up.
Right. Okay. So we're talking to the makers of the film Stonebreakers about what monuments, what statues mean, and what they can mean, in the future. I think there's one more scene that really struck me when I watched this film, and it kind of made me ask a question of, like, what is possible with a monument and what it makes you think? And it was this scene in the Arizona desert near the Arizona-Mexico border. And It features an archaeologist talking about why people began to mark the graves of immigrants who died at the border when they crossed. So let's listen to that.
It has to be something that upsets you in a visceral way. So having something that makes it lingering in the landscape is just so important. And it's been, actually, I think something that the humanitarian movement has partially moved to a lot, rather than just leaving water in the desert, creating monuments to the tragedy of the borderlands.
Isaac, I want you to reflect on that. What did that make you think about when you heard that, you know, about what a monument can do and communicate?
Yeah, this is jumping off of what Valeria was saying. We thought it was important to show in the film some ways in which people are rethinking the actual idea of a monument that doesn't necessarily have to be a single famous historical figure elevated on a pedestal in stone or in bronze, but it can also be something smaller, something more personal, something more collective. So in this case, this the project that we're describing is by Alvaro Enciso, an artist in Tucson, Arizona. And he's been placing these small, colorful wooden crosses in the desert around the borderlands where the bodies of migrants who crossed the borders illegally have been found over the years. And that was a really powerful contrast for us after visiting and showing on camera the border wall. So we visited the area in the final days of the Trump presidency, right? Actually, it was the same day that Biden was being inaugurated and Trump had launched a big acceleration in the construction of the border wall. In some ways, for us, the wall was also a monument, both for its physical scale and for its symbolic meaning. So the contrast between that and those crosses in the desert was really powerful.
Unfortunately, we have to leave it there. Valerio Ciriaci, director of the film Stonebreakers, and Isaac Lipzin, producer of the film, thank you both for joining us. Stonebreakers will premiere this Saturday at the Somerville Theater as part of the Independent Film Festival, which is a partner with WBUR.